Good day, students. Welcome to All Saints Secondary School e-learning platform. I am Mrs. Florence Iwanyanwu, your government stroke CRK teacher. I am going to teach CRK for SS2B. And our today's topic is going to be greed and its effects. Greed and its effects. We are going to know what greed is all about and its effects on human beings and society at large. We are going to look at greed, example of Ahab and Gehazi. But we're going to take it one after the other. So today we are going to look at greed, example of Ahab and Naboth's vineyard. Okay? All right. We are going to extract our readings from 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 1 to 29. 1 Kings 21, 1 to 29. Okay, now let us find out the meaning of greed. Remember, you're supposed to read your chapters from Revised Standard Version of the Bible. It will help you tremendously to when you use Revised Standard Version. Okay, greed can simply be defined as excessive desire for something. Greed can simply be defined as excessive desire for something. It can be food, money, and other forms of wealth. It can be food, money, and other forms of wealth. A greedy person can commit any crime to ensure that he satisfies his desires. Very, very straightforward, isn't it? Now, it is difficult sometimes for people to differentiate between their wants and their needs. In economics theory, we are told that human wants are insatiable. That is, we cannot get everything that we want. But those needs are the basic things that you need to have so that life will be better. Now, when someone needs to have a flat of 150,000, for example, that is accommodation because it is one of the basic needs, shelter. If that person leaves that 150,000 naira accommodation and start targeting 500,000 naira accommodation, when his salary cannot get it, you find out that one is excessive desire. Okay? You students, I can also use you as example. You have different allowances. Each time you come to school, your parents give you allowances according to their pockets. That is, according to their status. Some people have allowance of 200. Some have 100. Some have 500. In fact, I've run into a student who came to school without money. When I mean no money, no transport, no snack. And I realized that it was not always like that. But that day, the parents told her to go to school because there was no money. So if that girl goes out there to start making demands on other things that she knows she cannot buy, we'll say that she's greedy. So we are going to learn from this story to live within our means. We should live within our means. Don't desire what you cannot have. It is different from aspiring higher. Aspiration is different from unnecessary desire. Okay, now let's continue. Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard in Jezreel near the palace of Ahab, the king of Samaria. Ahab wanted this vineyard from Naboth to use it for a vegetable garden because it was near his palace. He proposed to exchange it for another vineyard, or if Naboth desired, he would settle him with money. But Naboth refused both offers. He said to Ahab, and I quote, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my father," unquote. Do you understand? Now, it all boils down to inheritance. In our Igbo tradition, people value the properties their parents had left them a lot, even if it is not in good sight, because it is somehow ancestral. Now, that's exactly what Naboth felt. That was how he felt when Ahab offered to buy his inheritance. He refused vehemently because it was what his father left for him. Okay. This statement annoyed Ahab. He lay down on his bed, turned away his face, and refused to eat food. When his wife Jezebel learned of this, she comforted him and promised that she would surely give him Naboth's vineyard. Are you there? Remember, when we were doing religious tension, I told you that Ahab married outside Israel, okay? And the wife was Jezebel, the daughter of Etabal. Very, very wicked. And she wanted her husband to be happy by all means, inasmuch as she knew that the vineyard did not belong to them. She promised to get it for him so that he could be happy again. Now, let me get something straight. You see, happiness cannot be bought. Yes. Happiness cannot be bought. You can only be happy if you choose to be happy. If you choose to be happy, you will be happy. You see, and what brings about happiness is contentment. Contentment is what brings happiness in our lives. If you're not contented with what you have, you'll hardly be happy with anything in your position. All right? So we should try as much as we can to appreciate whatever we have, not making unnecessary comparison with others. Not that you will not admire other people's stuff that are beautiful, but don't take it so personal that it will start eating you up. Okay. This promise she hoped to accomplish through crime. Jezebel, a wicked and devilish woman, quickly plotted how to destroy Naboth and take his vineyard. Okay. She was just a wife of a king. And she knew the only source through which she could get her husband what her husband desired was by crime. Jezebel wrote a letter in Ahab's name and sealed it with his seal. In the letter, she directed the elders and the nobles who dwelt in the same city with Naboth to proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people with two base fellows against him. Now, it is very important for you to note that in Israel then, the seal of the king is of a high repute. Whenever a king writes a letter and signs it with his seal, it becomes an order. Okay? And that order must be obeyed. Okay? Now, she already had her plots and had already given instructions to those who will carry out the plots. All right? And they were also instructed to bring out two fellows, that is, two people who will bear false witness. Okay. Now, the fellow should bring a charge against him, saying that he cursed God and the king. It's somehow, whenever I get through this story, I just wonder what Naboth would have been thinking as at that time. The fellows should bring a charge against him, saying that he cursed God and the king. The instruction was carried out. Naboth was killed, and the people reported back to Jezebel that Naboth was dead. She went straight to her husband and said, and I quote, "Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead." You get this extract from 1 Kings 21 verse 15. Now, I want to get something straight. You see, even in our today's society, when you hear that someone did something, please don't conclude until you are convinced beyond all reasonable doubt. Okay? Naboth was framed to have cursed God and the king, which he did not do. And of course, he had false witnesses. And as a result of that, he was stoned. And that was what gave Jezebel the impetus to go to the husband to tell him to arise and take up the position of Naboth. It is not always easy for one to commit a crime and go scot-free, either before God or before human. Whenever you're doing anything, make sure that whatever you're doing, you are on the right track. Because even that moment when you think that nobody saw you, God is there watching. Okay? All right. God sent Elijah the Tishbite to Ahab. The Lord, through Elijah, decreed that, and I quote, "In the place where dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your blood," unquote. "In the place where dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your blood," unquote. The Lord further said that he will bring evil upon the house of Ahab and would utterly sweep him away. He further stated that he would cut off from Ahab every male, bond or free, in Israel. This is scary, isn't it? That for the fact that Naboth was stoned, especially for something he knew nothing of, that the way the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, so shall they lick the blood of Ahab. And not only that, that all his male folks shall be cut off, whether they are slaves or free born. This is scary. Now, Elijah went further to give the message, stating, and I quote, "The dogs shall eat Jezebel within the bounds of Jezreel. Anyone belonging to Ahab who dies in the city, the dogs shall eat. And anyone of his who dies in the open, country, the birds of the air shall eat." You get it, 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 24. The Bible records that Ahab repented of his action, but the Lord only postponed the evil to the days of his children. Now, I want us to look at the reaction of Ahab. Under normal circumstances, would you have believed that Ahab will be someone that will put ashes on his head, wear sackcloth, a sign of mourning? Okay? But the Bible made us to understand that he did that. He was repentant of the crime the wife committed on his behalf. Of course, the wife wouldn't have committed that. I'm not trying to exonerate the wife, get me straight. But the wife wouldn't have committed that crime if Ahab had been contented with what he had. It was as a result of lack of contentment that Ahab insisted on having that vineyard, and that made his wife to commit the crime. Okay? And at the end of the day, he had brought permanent curse on his lineage. In fact, when you go through the Bible, you will see that it brought an end to the Ahab dynasty. It kind of destroyed the Ahab dynasty. All right? It was destroyed as a result of greed. If we attach this to what is happening in our today's society, you will find out that our so-called leaders are doing whatever they are doing as a result of greed. How can someone snatch away money? I was going through the internet one of the days and I saw the video of the former Abia State governor, Theodoji, a kind of two-bedroom apartment where the rooms were filled with cash of different hard currencies. And, oh my goodness, the sight of that money alone was scary. Yet, whenever you go to Aba and see how dilapidated that environment is, you begin to wonder the kind of people that had been there. I'm not trying to judge this person I just mentioned right now. I'm just giving you an example. Because that kind of money I saw in that two-bedroom apartment, he cannot finish it until he dies. The same thing is applicable to those of them who are pushing their own abroad. They are stashing it away abroad. What are they going to do with all the money? Abacha loot is still coming in up to today. How many years after his death? This thing all boils down to lack of contentment. Let us try as much as we can to be contented with what we have. Okay. Now let's look at the effect of greed. Number one, the evil consequences of greed in most cases outweighs its benefits. The evil consequences of greed in most cases outweighs its benefits. That is, if there is any benefit at all. Okay? Another one is that whenever people are in position of authority, they should avoid a situation where people around them, either their wives, children, friends, or husbands, as the case may be, influence their decisions to engage in obnoxious practices that will attract condemnation. It's not easy, but that is exactly what's really going on. Probably if the wife had not tried to, make him happy, Nebot wouldn't have died in that way. Another point is that it is better to have little that is blessed than to have much that is cursed. It is better to have little that is blessed than to have much that is cursed. Many people in position of authority, particularly in Nigeria, have used their positions to amass wealth. And because of the excessive wealth, their children turn into vagabonds and rascals, thereby becoming a source of reproach or shame to them. Last but not the least, greed should be avoided because it is self-destructive. Greed should be avoided because it is self-destructive. Okay, I want you to read the chapters again. Get your moral lessons, and I hope to come your way next time. Please, keep on being safe. Thank you.